long book will be our text for today's sermon. And we are continuing in the book of Esther. And this week, or month I should say, we are up to Esther chapter number 4. So we saw last time that Haman had gotten a little hot under the collar at Mordecai for not bowing to him like he was expecting that he should have done. And so he went to the king and says, "Hey, king, you know, we got these this bunch of rabble here that they're nothing but a drag on society. They're holding us back. They're costing us more than they're worth. And it just doesn't benefit you, king, to keep them around anymore. So what I'd like for you to do is let me go and have all these people executed. And to make it worthwhile, what I'll do is I'll pay quite a bit of silver here, roughly what work out to be about, if I remember correctly, about 2/3 of the annual income of taxes for the kingdom, the entire kingdom. And the king says, "Well, hey, you know, sounds like a good deal. Go ahead and do it. Here's my ring. Go ahead and write up the proclamation, seal it with the ring, and we're all golden." So Haman went and did just that. He got his proclamation written out, sealed it with the king's ring, passed it out to the people. And the chapter concluded with saying that everyone that was there in the city was absolutely perplexed about what was going on. So it just made no sense to them. Well, that brings us up to Esther chapter number 4. And we're going to read the first 9 verses here real quick. And the Bible tells us when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai, he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Well, then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak, he went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Lord, being our helper today, we'd like to bring our sermon on this thought. It's no joke. It's no joke. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to come here at the Hammond Whiting Care Center. And I do pray, Lord, that you give each and every one an extra special blessing, Lord, for making their way over here this morning. Greatly appreciate it. Getting to see Miss Betty especially coming in today, Lord. Really appreciate that. We ask you, Father, for all those who couldn't come over here today because of illness and whatnot, that you be with them, Father. And I pray, Father, that you bless these lips of clay, Lord, as I go to present your word here today. Help me, Father, Lord, to present the sermon the way that you'd have me to, that the people would see what they need to see from this and not me. As if it's all about me, it's already been a waste of time. Lord, we need you, we need more of you, and we need all of you that we can take. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So we titled today's sermon, "It's No Joke," and Well, I think the Lord has it all worked out here that today, of course, ends up being April the 1st, April Fool's Day, when we like to go and play little practical jokes on one another and do all that sort of funny business, you know. And if memory serves, the reason we got April Fools was because at one time the calendar actually began on April the 1st, and they moved it over to January the 1st, and that kind of messed up a few people here. Well, before that time, though, we've got this time here that we're seeing here in the book of Esther. Now, I truly believe that there in the palace, Esther has been insulated from what's going on out in the world there. You got to remember the first three chapters, they cover roughly 10 years or so. So it's not like it's boom, 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 boom. It's, like I said, 10 years of time is passing. A couple of years to this point. 4 or 5 years to this point. Another 4 or 5 years to this point. So on and so forth here. So Esther just really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the outside world. So she doesn't know what's going on. And I'm sure she did not know the argument that was going on between Mordecai and Haman. And most definitely, as we read from the text here, she had no idea about Haman's decree. So when Mordecai all of a sudden comes walking down the street and he's crying and excuse me, and he's got his sackcloth on, he's sprinkled ashes on his head, she's trying to figure out what sort of joke is he playing. Makes no sense. I mean, he sits in the king's gate now. People got to go through him before they can even get into the palace. And now, because he's wearing the sackcloth, he can't even sit in the gate. He can't even do his job. Now, what's going on here? And at the same time, the Bible tells us there in verse number 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. I don't know, Miss Betty, if this started off as a matter of he was having fun with Haman. Well, it's not like there was any excuse me, any actual prohibition in the Mosaic law to bowing to those in authority. You know, they weren't to bow to gods. Now I realize that Haman, if he could have, he probably would have made himself out to be a god, but he wasn't a false god. He was just the prime minister. And Israel was supposed to be showing proper respect to those in authority. So why Mordecai decided he was not going to bow to Haman, I don't know. Maybe it all started off as a joke. Maybe he was trying to be serious about it. Maybe he heard rumors that, hey, Haman is writing this edict and he's going to have all the Jews killed. He thought that was a joke. All of a sudden, here's the edict and it's been sealed by the king. Excuse me. Turns out that wasn't no joke. Turns out Haman had not been laughing with Mordecai as all this is going on here. Mordecai is refusing to bow. Perhaps Mordecai had just been being arrogant in his own way and he thought it'd be okay. Ends up that it's not. Now Mordecai suddenly has this burden that he's got to deal with. And there's a whole lot of seriousness that is being involved here in this matter. It's not just his own life that's on the line. It's every single Jew in the entire excuse me, I got a tickle in the back of my throat and it just won't go away. But it is every single Jew who's in the entire 127 provinces of the Persian Empire. Every last one of them is in danger of being killed. So, turns out it's no joke. And it all starts here where it finally gets Esther's attention with the cry of despair. We see in verse number 1 and 2, as we said there, he put on different clothes. He's going around in rags. He's got the ashes and dust upon his head. And he's going throughout the city and he's got a bitter cry. I mean, he's bawling his eyes out. He's wailing. He's letting everybody know that spiritually he's hurting really bad. And he comes to the king's gate, and that's as far as he can go. He can't go no further. He's realized that his own personal feud... excuse me. Man, I wish I could get that tickle out. He's realized that his own personal feud with Haman has been the catalyst of this whole thing. And he's feeling personally responsible about what's going on. And when we do something that causes someone else some injury, yeah, we should be feeling some personal responsibility. Because we did it. And I do believe we see here someone who has lost his way. Mordecai he's done that. Remember, we're not talking about some great biblical giants here, if you will, in the book of Esther. They don't mention God. There's no mention of the word prayer in the book. It's these people just trying to get through life kind of on their own. And he's really gone off track here. So while he has an idea as to what to do, he doesn't know how to go to God to ask for help. Doesn't even know how to cry out, "Hey God, how can I get some help?" Now the good thing is the Bible says that while he couldn't come into the king because of how he was dressed, the Bible says it doesn't matter for us because God wants us to come just as we are. In fact, the Bible says there in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, verses 15 and 16, the writer of Hebrews, and I personally believe to be the Apostle Paul, says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities," talking about Jesus there, "but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know what I love about that verse there? It doesn't say you've got to go get cleaned up first. It doesn't say that you've got to have on the best Sunday go-to-meeting clothes that you can possibly have. It doesn't say that your hair's got to be done up right, that your bank account's got to be flush with cash, that your credit cards have got to be in the millions of dollars of credit available to you with a zero balance. Praise God, it doesn't say none of that. It doesn't say that you've got to have a perfect job. It doesn't say that you've got to come only when there's no sin in your life. He says, come boldly unto the throne of grace there. When you've got a cry of despair on your heart, God wants you to come to Him. God wants you to come and tell Him all about what's going on there so that you can find the help in time of need there, because He's got the grace, He's got the mercy, He's got the help, and it will bring about His peace in our lives if we'll just come to Him no matter what the situation is. Mordecai could have gotten that exact same peace if he'd have just come to God when he had the opportunity there. And instead he kept going, being bullheaded and going about doing things in his own way. And what it ended up doing is it ended up causing a commotion. We see in verse number 4, the Bible says, "So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not." There's Mordecai out there in the streets making such a fuss, and all of Esther's servants come to her and says, "Hey, look, we don't know exactly what the deal is between you and Mordecai, but Mordecai's causing a ruckus out there. You might want to think about trying to do something about this, queen." So Esther says, "Well, I'll find out what it is. I want you to take and go get some nice clothes, go bring them out to him so he can change, and then he can come inside and he can tell me face to face." Now that sounds like a pretty good plan. Except, all really she's doing is putting a bandage on a problem. If I was to walk into that kitchen right now and grab a meat cleaver off there, the rack, and cut off my arm, and then just take one of those little 1-inch wide band-aids and start sticking it on my arm there, Miss Betty, I'm going to bleed out pretty quick because that little band-aid ain't going to get the job done. You know? And that's what she's trying to do here. She's trying to deal with a mortal wound, and she ain't got an idea as to what she's doing. Remember we said that she's been completely insulated there in the palace. She don't know what's going on. Now, picture this. Up to this point in the story, her identity as a Jew has been kept a secret for about 10 years. Most likely, Those servants, those chamberlains, they ain't got a clue that she's a Jew. Now, I do believe from the way the text reads that Hatak knew that she was a Jew. He probably was one himself. And that's why he goes out there to bring Mordecai the clothes. And Mordecai says, no, I ain't going to take them. You take this message back to her instead. And as you get further down here in the list at the Mordecai or the verses, Mordecai ends up giving this message. Hey, go tell the queen. Says, hey, look, you know, you're just as much in danger there in the palace as if you weren't, you know, in the palace. So, Hatak's probably got a pretty good idea as to what's going on. But had Mordecai taken those clothes, and he had changed, and he'd come in to talk to her, I believe he would have tipped somebody off. I believe that they'd have said, Mordecai's a Jew. Hatak is a Jew. All of a sudden, Mordecai's now coming in. I'm adding two and two together, and I'm coming up with Esther might be a Jew as well. We've got something going on here. But by Mordecai deciding to stay outside and using these messengers, there's not much that's going on except for maybe some friendly conversation. However you want to slice it, though, I want you to know Mordecai got her attention. Now, I also want to add to this. Getting attention, keep on keeping on, and that's exactly what Mordecai was doing. As you read throughout the rest of the chapter, he sends a message, she sends a reply back, he sends a message back to her, she sends a reply back. All that back and forth there, it's biblical. Not just in the fact that it's here in the book of Esther, but in that Jesus himself spoke about keeping at it until you get your response. He said over in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Friends, I want you to know that those words, ask, seek, and knock, they're what we call in the English language, present imperatives. Lord, if you could take away this tickle in the back of my throat, that would be awesome. Because it keeps bothering me. But you know what? I believe he's going to do it. But those present imperatives, that's a fancy way of saying they are a continuing command. This is something that we are always supposed to be doing. We are supposed to keep asking God until we get a response. We're supposed to keep seeking His will until we find what His will is. And we're supposed to keep knocking on those doors until He opens the door for us, their church. And when we do this, when we ask, we seek, and we knock, we get our answers. Praise God for that there. You know what? Sometimes those answers are yes, sometimes those answers are no. But He always will give us an answer. But what He wants us to do is to keep doing these things. You say, well, He's God. Why do I got to keep telling Him about this particular need? Because of one word, faith. By our asking Him constantly for something, we are showing Him our faith in Him. By us constantly seeking His will, we are showing our faith in Him. By us constantly knocking on that door there, we are showing our faith in Him to open up the door for us there. Praise God. If we will just follow what He would have us to do there, we're going to see some results. Church, I want you to know that while I've titled this sermon today, It's No Joke, I want you to know that the Esther chapter number 4 is about prayer. And that's exactly what's going on here. Mordecai, he's going on behalf of his people there, and he's calling out in prayer, asking for some help. And if you go and you want to dig down even deeper into it, praise the Lord. What you're going to find is that the wife in the family is a type, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The completer there. And so is it biblical there for him to go to the queen there instead of going to the king there? Because it's the Holy Spirit who that makes the intercession for us, whose groanings there are making intercession for us that we can't comprehend. But God Almighty, God the Father, He does get it there on our behalf. And I want you to know, church, go ahead and cause a commotion. Because you're ringing those prayer bells of heaven there. And I love that song, Prayer Bells of Heaven, how sweetly they ring, bearing our message unto Jesus the King. Whoo, that's a good song. Now, does that mean we're always going to get the answer we want? No. Just being honest, no, we're not. But does it mean we're going to get the answer we need? Yeah. Like I said, sometimes those answers are yes, sometimes they're no. Sometimes when we pray for someone to get some healing, their healing is not where they are now free of cancer in this life. Maybe it's that they've graduated from this life to the next. Just saying, church. But keep on keeping on. I want you to know not only was there the cry of despair and the commotion, but there's the communication. Verse 6 to 8 says, So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. Church, he laid it all out for her. He told Hatak to go in there and says, this is my own personal experiences in the matter there. Haman came by and he wanted everybody to bow to him. He even had the king decree everyone should bow to him. I said, no, not going to happen. He told all about all the interactions he'd had up to this point in time with Haman, and how he refused to work with Haman on any sort of thing. He even turned around and he gave her a copy of the decree so she could see with her own two eyes that, yep, Mordecai ain't fooled. This ain't no joke. This is some serious stuff that's going on here. He wanted her to know, this is legit. We got a problem here. It ain't no joke and it ain't all in my head. Something has got to get done, church. Bible tells us that we need to also be in constant communication. James chapter number 4, verse 2 and 3, the latter part of verse 2 starts off saying, Yet ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. James is telling us here, we've got three areas here where we don't get what we want. Number one, because we're not bothering to ask. Like I said, it's a matter of us showing our faith in God that He can supply our need, that we go and we ask Him for it. But if we just kick back and say, hey, my God's going to supply my need. He already promised in His Bible, and that's all I've got to do as far as I got to take it. Anytime now, God, you know. Anytime, you know, that ain't going to work. God says, ask. He says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. In other words, you're only asking because you want to see what you can get out of it. How can I benefit out of this? Well, God says, I don't want you to be thinking in those terms. I want you to be thinking in terms of how can you go about glorifying God the Father? How in the world can you be spreading the name of Jesus Christ who died upon the cross to save you from hell, to pay your sin debt that you owe? How can you go about being a better witness for Him? But if no one talks to one another, if no one communicates with one another, how in the world can anything possibly get done? We're not talking to God. Why should God answer us? We ain't gave him nothing to answer. But the Apostle Paul tells us over in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 6, he says, Be careful for nothing. The word careful means to be anxious, to be full of worry and concern. He says, But in everything, not just a few things, not in certain things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Tell God all about it. Communicate with Him what's going on and how you need some help. God knows what's going on in our lives, but He still wants us to tell Him all about it.
It's called faith, church. Mordecai was putting faith in Esther that she could go and get something done. She's the king's wife. And as he goes on to say later on in the chapter, he says, who knows if you weren't put in this place for just such an occasion? He says, think about it, Esther. You can help. Think about it, church. Jesus can help. But we've got to give him the opportunity. It's no joke. He can if we'll let him. But may I also say in verse 10 and 11, we see her concern. Now verse 10 and 11 says, and again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Now this is what you're going to say to him. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who's not called, there's one law of his to put him to death. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I've not been called to come into the king in these 30 days. Now she's wanting some guidance going on here, Miss Betty. She ain't got to see her husband in the last 30 days. He ain't called for her. He ain't sent for her. Means that they haven't spent the night together and none of that stuff. So she's looking at this saying, hey, the timing is terrible. I ain't seen him in 30 days. I've obviously fallen out of favor. A lot of assumption going on there on her part to think such, but that's what she's thinking. And church, let me just say this. Just because we haven't seen a movement of God lately in our lives, in our church, our local assembly, does not mean that God is not working behind the scenes. It does not mean that we have fallen out of favor with Him. What it means, church, is that we need to have some patience with Him, that we need to wait upon the Lord, that we need to keep trusting in the Lord. That's the guidance that we need to be working with here. As a matter of fact, let me turn back over here to Philippians chapter number 4. I want to read this to you real quick since it just came to mind. Thank you, Lord, for that. But Philippians chapter number 4, we read you verse number 6. Verse number 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. She says, I've got this issue here. What am I going to do? Think on what God's done for you. Think about what He's done in the past and what He's promised that He's going to do for you there in the future. Esther, don't worry about what all has happened here of late. You just keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ there. Church, the Bible tells us over there in the book of James, chapter number 5, verse 16, He says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Church, you want that guidance? Go to Jesus. You say, well, I'm just not getting it. That's why He gave us pastors. That's why He gave us elders in the church. Why He gave us deacons. Why He gave us the Sunday school teachers, why He's given us those who have more experience and whatnot, those who are called prayer warriors and such. Go to them, talk to them. He's given us friends, He's given us loved ones there who can be a help to us. Go to them, tell them, hey, this is what's going on in my life. Express your concern to them so that the two of you, or the three of you, however many, can tag team together and start knocking on heaven's door. Hey, Lord, we need an answer for this individual going on down here, and God will hear. Church, if we're not going to express our concern, again, we're going to have some problems getting an answer. May I say that also, right alongside this verse here, there's also a condition that's involved. But Miss Betty, this is probably my favorite part of the whole sermon here, this condition. Verse number 11, right almost in the middle of it, Esther says these words. Right after she talks about it, if anyone comes to the inner court there and they ain't been welcome, they're dead. She says, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live.
Hoo-wee!
I like this condition, Miss Betty. You see, the golden scepter protected the king from assassination. By holding it out, the king was indicating, I know this person, and I welcome their visit. So the royal guards would stand back and let that person come forward. If the king didn't hold out that golden scepter, he kept it in, that person comes walking in, the royal guards know the king doesn't know this person, off with their head, kill them. Church, this is why I find it be my favorite part of this whole sermon. That's about 2,000 years ago, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he carried his scepter. He carried it to a hill called Mount Calvary. And he was placed there on his scepter. We know it as an old wooden, rugged cross. But on that cross there, he pointed that cross toward whosoever will. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever will, that's me. That's Miss Betty. Whosoever will is anyone who's come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Whosoever will is pointed at anyone who wants to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. He's pointed the cross at you. And he's telling you now, I ain't afraid of you assassinating me. They done tried that. They failed. I'm alive forevermore. Come on, I welcome a visit from you. Come on and let me save your soul from hell. And not only that, when you're taking your sin and you think, oh, I've gone too far this time. There's no possible way that he'll forgive me this time. Guess what? The cross is still pointed at you. He'll still forgive you of your sins. All he wants you to do is come, and he's willing to accept you. Church, that's his condition. You gotta come to him. He's calling you. He's pointed his scepter at you. But you've got to come. And since you gotta come, let me say this in closing. That means there's got to be some cooperation. Verses 15 to 17. The Bible tells us here in Esther chapter number 4. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. She said this, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. The cooperation, church, many hands make light work. She wanted, dare I call it, a good old-fashioned prayer. Now, I know that word prayer is not listed here in these verses. In fact, it ain't even listed in the book of Esther. But praise God, if you're going to be fasting, you're going to be doing some praying. You're fasting, that's getting the inside of the body cleaned out. Praying's helping to get the mental aspect cleaned out. That's helping you to get right where you need to be. Church, when was the last time we all got together and we decided to do some praying? And I don't mean just when it came time for church and the preacher said, all right, let's bow our heads and say a word of prayer to open up and a word of prayer to close and be done with it. I mean that we got together and we had us an honest time of prayer. That we were coming together, we were seeking God's face. That we had something on our hearts that was bothering us. Something that was troubling us. Something that we needed to get done. And we decided we're going to sit here and we're going to pray until we get an answer. I'm reminded over there in the book of Acts, chapter number 12, about how Herod, he stretched out his hand there, the Bible says, and he took James, the brother of John, and he took his head off. He saw the Jews like that, and he says, all right, I scored me some popularity points. I think I'll do the same thing to that rascal Peter. So he had Peter arrested. It says, as soon as Easter's done, Peter, you're a dead man. Well, the disciples got together and they says, we're going to do us some praying about this. We don't want Peter being killed too. So they're praying. God dispatches an angel to go and release Simon Peter from prison. And Simon Peter goes to where these people are all meeting. In verse number 11, it says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Verse 12, "And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John." That's John Mark, sir, whose surname was Mark. "Where many were gathered together, and they were praying." Church, they weren't having an ice cream social there at John Mark's house. Church, they weren't having pinochle there at John Mark's house. In fact, they weren't having bingo there at John Mark's house. They weren't having a dance contest there at John Mark's house. They weren't having American Idol there at John Mark's house. They weren't having poker night at John Mark's house. They were having a good old-fashioned prayer meeting there at John Mark's house. Why? Because they didn't want Peter to be executed. All of a sudden, knock at the door. A servant girl named Rhoda goes over there.
"Who is it?"
"It's me, Simon Peter."
"Ah!
Prayer's been answered, prayer's been answered." And she forgot to let him in, Miss Betty. He's standing out there, he's waiting. They think she's crazy. Church, ain't that the way that we get? We get to praying and we get to hoping and praying that God will answer our prayer. And when the answer presents itself, we think we've gone loco because we got the answer we were looking for. Kind of shows our lack of faith. But there had to have been some faith there for God to have honored it. And I believe God honored that little bit of faith that they had there. Church, Esther wanted prayers on her behalf for what she should say and what she should do. What plan she should go in there with to talk to the king about this. Remember, she's just a woman. She's got no real sway. She's just a woman. It's been 30 days since her husband had even wanted to be around her. And this is definitely a different place and time than what we're used to now. She needs as much of God as she can get. And she's out of God's will as well, so she ain't asking them to pray to God for her. She's just asking them to fast. Church, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You can go to Him and ask. I got two questions for you this morning. Two very simple questions. Number one, when are we going to get started on being serious about our own prayer lives? I know I need to get more serious. My second question is this. When we pray, is it out of habit or are we praying for God to answer? It's no joke, church. Prayer is what makes everything go round for us. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. I do pray, Lord, that everyone here was able to get something out of the sermon today. And help us, Father, Lord, please, to follow after You in Your holy will. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.